Well, good evening, brothers, and welcome to the first of the Masons Leadbetter Master Builder Calls. I'm Mike Clevenger, and I'm going to moderate the session this evening. And we have on the call this evening brothers from the 13th, the 17th District, and the 20th Districts. And as more workshops are completed, our number will continue to grow. And as you know, the call is being recorded, and so then I also welcome those brothers who could not be with us live tonight and will be listening at a later date. The purpose of these calls, I outlined it a little bit in the email, but the purpose of these calls is to continue that dialogue we began at the workshop. And as you recall, I explained that the Masons Leadbetter program is a process. The program's value to you, your life, your lodge, and masonry is in continuing with the process of personal and leadership development. By participating in these calls then, and the Master Builder group that we'll talk about at the end of this call in your district, you can continue to receive these benefits of this program. Tonight, since this is our very first call, and maybe to some of you this type of presentation might be new, I want to take a few moments to explain a little more of the process. These calls will take place. I'm going to getting some background noise here, so just a second. I'm going to mute the. These calls will take. Let me start again. These calls will take place on the third Wednesday of every month at 7 p.m., and they are designed to last approximately an hour. However, in each session, we will have an open forum dialogue and a sort of a question and answer period at the end. And that may cause us, in some cases, to run over our one-hour time limit. So I plan to stay as long as the brothers wish to continue the dialogue, but during the call, if you have to leave, please do so, because we are recording the entire call, and you'll have the ability to listen to the discussion later at your convenience. You'll have access. Let me explain so you know how you will have access to these recordings. The first way, we will post this on the Masons Leadbetter website. A few days ago, we've created a menu item, the Master Builder Login. And it's right on the menu up there. It says Master Builder Login. If you click on that item, you'll be asked for a password. And the password is the Grandmaster slogan, the time is now. So once you click on that item, a little password box will pop up, and type in, all in lowercase with no spaces, the time is now. This will give you access to what we're calling the Master Builder course. And on that page will be a list of these monthly calls. So just click on the title of the one you want, and you'll be taken to a page that will have the call recording with a player right there and other material that will pertain to this call topic. Now, you'll be able to listen to that call there, or there will be also on that same page a link that takes you to this conferencing website we're using, and if you click on that link, that will allow you to download the audio file to your own computer or device and listen to it another time. Well, also on that same page, there'll be a direct callback number so you can access from your phone and just listen in that manner. So I know that's a lot in just a few short minutes there, but don't worry if you miss some of these instructions. I'll put it all in an email so you receive it after this call. And that'll explain it again to you. Now, it's my hope that as a group, we can pick the topics of these calls. So I picked the topic tonight, but I would like future calls to cover subjects from the Masons Lead Better material that are of importance to you, areas that you might need further explanation, and things you'd like to know about to help your lodge in masonry. I'm also planning to have, at particular points in time, some guest presentations from other brothers who have an interest or an expertise in the subjects we covered in the Masons Lead Better workshop. I'm working on one contact now, and he has a book out. He's sending me the book, and I'll let you know when I have the details finalized on that. He has a book out about using the tools and lessons of masonry for leadership, and that's right down the topic area of Masons Lead Better. So without a little explanation, I'd like to get into our topic tonight, which, as advertised in the email you received, was how to begin positive change in your lodge. And so I want to expand on that topic of change, which we briefly touched on in the Masons Lead Better workshop. And so if you happen to have your workbook handy, or you're listening to the recording, pause the recording, go run and get your workbook, and the information's on page 5. Now, as you recall that section in the workshop, we recognized that if we were to effectively lead others through change, we first had to be able to lead ourselves. So the basis of any change you wish to affect in your lodge, positive change, first begins with you. You must assess yourself and begin to develop your leadership skills before you try to change others. I don't want to take up all of the time this evening, as I want adequate time for us to have a discussion and some dialogue about material and change. However, there's some basic concepts about change I believe that are important to our effort as we try to improve our lodges and try to improve masonry in Ohio. And so let me start with talking about first the nature of change. We all realize that our entire world is about change. It's all around us, and change goes on whether we want to or not. And that type, the change that goes on can be either directed change or just random change that happens without any interference from any human being, or it just things change. As leaders in masonry, though, we will be using directed change. We'll be trying different programs. We'll be adding and getting rid of events in our lodges in masonry, new procedures and things like that, to attempt to bring about change in our lodges. Well, here, as we work with directed change, here's an important point, a very important point. And that point is this: organizations do not change. The people in the organizations change. So again, people in organizations change, not the organization. Now what that tells us, that if we attempt to use new programming, events, incentives to change our lodges and do nothing else, we will not be successful unless we are able to change our brother's behavior. That, as you will recognize, is a very tough job. So speaking to this people and organization change, if we're going to be a change leader, we have to direct our change to changing the behavior in which the brothers behave in our lodge in masonry. And I said to do this, we would be using directed change. And let me just quickly go over that there are two types of directed change. First is incremental change. And what that is changing small parts of the organization. I mentioned events, programming. That's tinkering with and adjusting events, programming, with the attempt to create some kind of movement or change. I know we talked about incremental change when I went through the pyramid that's on page 5, and I talked about building a team and getting the right members on the team so that you could take on small projects, take on things that doesn't take a lot of monumental change, but take on small projects and show progress to the lodge and the rest of the team that you are making progress. And that starts the process of getting to the next type of change. So these small little changes being performed in your lodges are just incremental changes. What we're looking for and what that pyramid on page 5 talked about is transformative change. And what transformative change does to an organization and the people in it, it changes the culture. It is the process which changes the way people behave in the organization and also sets standards as they change their behavior. They expect others to behave in this manner. So as people change their behavior through the process of transformative change, then the culture, the atmosphere, if you will, of the organization changes. And that's what we're looking for in our lodges, not doing the same old thing, but in a slow process, getting people to recognize that this change will be positive, so they need to behave in a different manner. Think about Mason's Lead Better. I asked in that workshop that you think about, remember the little clip about Robin Williams, about looking at the world in a different manner. And in that case, I asked you to look at the ritual in a different manner. And that looking at it and listening to it for understanding. This is part of transformative change, and it's an incremental change. It's a change in the way we've always done something. But it leads, if enough brothers change their behavior, we get this transformative change. And if you look on that, when you get a chance to look at that pyramid again, that top part of the pyramid is a leadership organization. And I believe I made the comment that all of the successful organizations that has sustained growth and have been performing in an excellent manner have been creating leaders throughout the organization, and this is done through this transformative change. Well, let's talk about, I'd like to talk about a couple more things, and the first thing I'd like to talk about is, you know, what does a leader look like who could lead change? So you say, Mike, you know, I'd like to change some things going on in my lodge for the positive. What kind of leader do I have to be? Well, first of all, there are several things, and I'm just going to go through 4. First of all, a leader that wants to lead change, they have to look at change as a continuous process, and it's not a temporary change. I think you'll recall in the workshop we talked about our organization, the Masonic organization, has what's called an institutional barrier, that being we change the head of our lodges, of the Grand Lodge, every year. And so if we need leaders who look at change as a continuous process and we want to change, those leaders have to, even though they're only there for a year, have to understand that they are a part of a continuous process and not looking at, you know, year by year. So if we want to be change agents or change leaders, we have to look at what we're doing, not as something we can jump in and do in a short period of time. We have to look at it as a process and continue on that process, bringing others into the process as we go. The second thing, leaders who lead change, the kinds of leader they are, they have what's called a growth mindset. And if you recall, in the workbook, and I'm flipping there, I think it's page 41, it's when we got into this into the afternoon, the first thing we talked about was leading others, and we were talking about an attitude. And we made the distinction between those with a fixed mindset and those with a growth mindset. Leaders who will lead change and lead change effectively have this growth mindset. And they, if I can, I'll quickly kind of recap what it was we talked about in the workshop, but they adapt. The leaders who have this growth mindset, they believe, first of all, everything is possible. They don't dismiss something because it's a wild and crazy idea, or it doesn't fit within the norm, or even if it doesn't fit in the rules. They believe that everything is possible, and they will seek ways to figure out if it can be done. So they adapt to this change. Remember I said at the beginning, the world changes. And so growth mindset leaders adapt to these changing situations. Another thing that a growth mindset leader, and one of the major things that make them successful, is they're not afraid to fail. They're not afraid to try something and get out there, and hey, if they fail, they begin to analyze why they failed, where it failed, and are willing to try again. They're also willing and open to empower other people and bring them with them. So if we're going to change our lodges, we're going to make some positive changes in our lodges, we have to develop, if we don't have this growth mindset, a way to get it. And the other thing that's another key piece of that is that, and I'll talk about that in a minute, is they're not afraid of criticism. Matter of fact, they look for it. They look, and that's the third key point I wanted to make about leaders who lead change, is they look at this resistance. They look at those people who say, hey, we've always done it this way. We're going to continue to do it this way. Growth mindset leaders and leaders who lead change look at that as a signal to say, okay, there must be something to what this guy's saying. Let's sit down and talk about it. Let me hear what this guy's got to say. And that's one of the things that growth mindset and leaders who lead change are good at, is sitting down and listening. They don't look at, you know, someone coming up to them saying, hey, that's the craziest idea I've ever heard in my life. What are you, stupid or something? They don't take offense to that. They look at that as, hey, this guy's got a problem here, and I want to understand why he has a problem with my idea. So they look at resistance as, hey, that's a signal for me to get going and listen to people. And they also believe, leaders who lead change, the fourth point I'd like to make, is they believe that life is a nonstop learning experience. And we as Masons know that is Masonry. We are taught that we are to be continual learners. And that was one of the key points that I brought out in the workshop, that Masonry is a learning experience. It's a personal development program. And as Masons, we should believe that we should never stop learning. So again, if we're going to lead change in our lodges, we have to look at it as a continuous process. We have to have this growth positive mindset. We have to believe that we can always learn something from someone else. And fourth, we have to look that if people resist our ideas and thoughts, we need to sit down and talk to them and understand why. Well, the last thing I'd like to do before we open our discussion or dialogue tonight, I mean, and answer any questions that the brothers here live on the call might have, is talk about a man named John Cotter and his process of creating change and what has to happen in an organization. And we're going to specifically talk about our lodges, what has to happen using Cotter's process to create change. And first of all, John Cotter's a leadership author. He's a professor emeritus at the Harvard Business School. He's well known as someone who has spent his career working on how organizations can change. And so I'm not going to do it. You know, he's being an academic. Some of his stuff is pretty academic. But I might at this point, I'd like to encourage you, if you want to read a simple book by John Cotter about change. He wrote a book called Our Iceberg is Melting. And it's a fable. It's a fable about a group of penguins. And it's rather short, rather easy to read. And this one penguin noticed one evening that there it looked like the ice, the big ice mass that their penguin colony is on, was changing. It was getting smaller. It was melting, and realized that if something wasn't done, that all of their lives could be in danger. So the whole story that John tells through that fable and those penguins is about this one penguin's quest to get everyone else to understand they have to change and change what we're doing or we're going to all die. So you want to read a good book about change, a short one, non-academic, Our Iceberg is Melting. And I'll put that on the page with the rest of the lesson so you can remember that. So let's go down through these key points that Cotter makes about the change process. The first thing he says is that an organization has to create a sense of urgency. Now, what does he mean by that? Well, he didn't mean fear. He didn't mean going around yelling the sky is falling. Okay. He just means that the organization has to understand as a group that urgent change is needed and that we're not going to criticize the past. We just recognize that we have to do something. And I think we've pretty much talked a lot about that in the three districts workshops we've had about, hey, you know, things aren't working here in all cases, and we need to do some changings. And so we need to create a general sense of urgency, and that's what Cotter is talking about. And there are two barriers to doing that. And remember I said organizations don't change, people change. The two barriers center around people barriers. And the first one is people who are comfortable the way they've been doing things. They're just comfortable. There was a book written by another academic called The you know, the path of least resistance. You've heard that term before. It was all about how people resist change because it's easy doing what you've always done. And I think I said at the beginning of the workshop, I know I did when we talked about this as a process, that the process is hard. So that's the first barrier in creating a sense of urgency to go, hey, you know, everything's cool. I don't need to change anything. Everything's going along okay. And the other people barrier, I guess we could call it, is they know things are bad, but like a leader who has a growth mindset, they have a fixed mindset. They believe they can't do anything about it. They're too old to learn. They can't change. They're uncomfortable about learning new things. They have this fear about being challenged. So creating this sense of urgency is Cotter's first piece, but be aware, as I said, you've got some people barriers there to overcome. Second of all, he talks about creating a guiding coalition. And what that means is get your lodge together and talk about, very honestly, what's going on. And you can do that very simply by setting up a meeting that's not, or maybe you can have it, if you want to, have it in a stated lodge meeting. And you gather guys together and said, would you be willing to have some conversations about our lodge and its future? And do it in a conversational type manner and listen. Everyone listen and understand what everyone else is saying. Remember, we talked about dialogue. And so this is recognizing that as if you want to change an organization and a lodge, you can't do it by yourself. You have to have a group. It has to be a group effort. That's why when we talked about change in the workshop, we talked about the necessity and the importance of building relationships and sharing a common understanding of the issues. And so once you start connecting with your lodge brothers and say, hey, we're going to have some conversations about our lodge and its future. My lodge, a number of years ago, spent some time and had those conversations. We actually started with a small group and started answering some questions that would lead us to creating a common vision. And that's the next part of the process Cotter talks about. So these conversations, these lodge conversations, you would have, and my lodge had them, we were looking for a common vision. Remember at the beginning of the workshop, we talked about if time and money were no factor, what would masonry look like in Ohio? What are some of the things we desire? And that's a common vision that we developed during that workshop. Well, this is what you do in your lodge. You sit down in these conversations, and you talk about, hey, who are we? What are we doing? Why are we doing what we do? And who are we trying to serve? And for whom and where are we going? There's a man, you may have heard of him, a man, he's a well-known management guru, is Peter Drucker. And Peter Drucker's process of helping an organization come to a common vision answered these three questions. Who are we, what do we do, and for whom? And lastly, what's the vision? Where are we going? And this is the conversation you have in lodge. When my lodge had those conversations, we found out that common themes evolve. Sort of like when we did it at the workshop, and some of those were we wanted more education in the lodge, more training for our officers. We wanted to be more involved in the community. We wanted to be you know, a force in our community and be respected for a group of men who do some things. So that's part of Cotter's process, is creating this common vision. Now, once you create that vision, let's say, and we've talked about this in Lodge, you have a small group who participate and make that Lodge run. If that's the group that gathers together and you create this vision, then it is your job as a leader, if you want to affect change and get to that vision, you've got to go out and communicate with the rest of your Lodge brothers, whether it be by face-to-face conversation, a newsletter, a special meeting, however it needs to happen. You need to connect and get as many on board and say, yeah, we'll buy into that vision. Typically, in a larger organization, it starts with a small group of people, and then as things build, as the planning builds and the ideas build, you broaden the number of people that are involved. So in smaller lodges, we really would like to be able to have everybody involved. And the next to the last point is you need to generate short-term wins. I've talked about that earlier tonight. We talk about it in a workshop. Do something small with excellence. So if you develop a common vision and say, here's what we would like to accomplish. Here's, say, for example, it was Lodge education. We would like to have Lodge education programs every month of these topics, and you specify the topics. Well, what you do and what Cotter's talking about, you do one. And you do one, and you make sure it's the best one you can do. So you do something small with excellence. That builds the confidence and the momentum in the organization to say, hey, I think we can do this stuff. I think we could do that. And finally, Cotter's process is don't give up, don't let up, I think is the way he said it. And really what he means is recognize that this is a long-term process. It's you're changing the culture. You're changing the way you've done business forever by talking about what we're trying to accomplish, putting a plan together to get there, and then don't give up if you have failures. Don't give up if you have these setbacks, which you will. But start doing small things and bite off no more than you can do with excellence. So, in a nutshell, that is John Cotter's process for change, and that's a process that we can use to affect change in our lodge. Well, that's the material. I went just a bit longer than I had expected tonight with that, but I wanted to get those points across because the whole Masons Lead Better program is a method of change, and I want to make sure that everyone who's listened to the recording tonight and was a part of the workshop, understand that this is critical. If we don't embrace and understand change, we're really not going to get there. Well, what I'm going to do right now is I had you guys on the call muted, so you're back on live and appreciate you being here tonight. Any comments? Anybody here or live on the call got any comments or thoughts?
Earl Saunders.
Hey, Earl. How are you?
Pretty good. I've always looked at that failure as an opportunity to do something, and you played right into my hands. I've had failures
many times,
and our lodge had many failures, but we came out of it.
Yeah. Can you give us you got an example that comes to mind? Or
yes, we started. I started a mug program years ago in the lodge because we needed money. And a lot of people, a lot of brothers said, oh, I won't go. So I kept at it. Didn't sell many the first while, but kept at it. I finally got publicity on it, and we started selling them, and it brought us out of it financially. But it was a small thing. So from that, we got into other fundraisers. The other brothers have done it. I didn't have anything to do with it, but they all picked up on it and made the whole lodge much better.
Yeah, and that's, we just went over that with Cotter's process. Hey, try something. Don't give up. Don't take the attitude that it's going to fail. And if you hit setbacks, just keep going.
And that's what we've done.
Is that still going on? I mean, is...
Oh, yes. We've had dinners that we didn't do too good at, but we don't give up. We try again. I'm just fortunate to have a lot of good brothers who accept failure and try it again. That's been the success of our lodge.
Right. Right. Well, that's kind of the key point about attitude that we talked about in the workshop was if you're going to have a defeatist attitude and are not willing to try new things and maybe fail, and when you do fail, have the understanding of your brothers, hey, let's figure out what went wrong and let's make it not fail the next time, right?
That's right. That's exactly what we've done.
Good for you. Good for you. Anything else? Brother Reynolds, Brother Poole, anything come to mind? I'm not forcing you to talk. I'm just giving you the opportunity if you would like. And it doesn't have to be, I mean, if nothing comes to mind, maybe something as we talk will. Any further thoughts from just the overall workshop and that experience? Nobody? Nobody? I'm sorry? I thought someone said something. As I said... we will be doing these calls on a monthly basis. I wanted to go over again, though, before we conclude this evening, the importance of the Master Builder Group and what's going to happen in each of your districts. We are, as I said in a workshop, we are developing those concepts now, and I know one district already has a scheduled date for their first one, and so very shortly we'll be putting those plans into place for the Master Builder Group. And this is where you're going to start having those conversations I was talking about tonight, and those conversations are about the improvement of yourself and mutually supporting each other in some of these and passing along ideas about just what Earl brought up about things that have tried in other lodges. This is going to be the benefit of this. And then brothers pointing you to some of the resources that they've used in having some successes. And it also creates this whole support group that we hope will be a method to help you improve yourself and improve your lodge and improve masonry. So as that gets finalized, which will be rather shortly, I'll be working with the representatives from the education committee, and we'll roll those out, and they will be contacting you. Guys, before I close this call tonight, I mean, we've got plenty of time. Is there anything else we need to cover here from your perspective before I do?
Well, I was on the Masonic University the other night. I like what Jack Allen said, repetition, repetition, repetition. how to learn the ritual at least.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. That's helping me out a lot.
Oh, good. Have you watched other things there or just got to that?
Well, I've watched a few other things, but that's the main one I've been going back to.
Oh, okay. Okay, great. Well, I know Jack has asked that the Freemason University team get together again and decide what additional things we're going to add. So I'm asking the brothers that are listening here, as you think about in those areas we're covering on Freemason University, ritual, management, and leadership, if you think of something you'd say, hey, I'd really like to see you guys do something on this, please let us know, because we want to do what's going to be helpful for you. So I just put that plea out there as those things come to mind. Get a hold of Jack Allen and say, Jack, I'd like for you to think about doing something on this, and we'll be glad to consider it. I will say that again before I close here tonight, is that if there are subjects you would like to see these monthly calls take, now these are the kind of the umbrella calls, and I would like to make them interesting, and I would like to make them pertinent to what you guys would like to hear. So if you're listening to the recording and think of something, hey, I'd like for you to cover this, I'm open to hear those suggestions, and I'll try to comply. Well, with that, we're going to complete this a little early tonight, but I certainly appreciate the brothers who are on the call live this evening, and I appreciate those who will listen to this at a later date. Give me a couple of days on the website material, and then you can go to Mason's leadbetter.com, and again, click on that Master Builder login item on the menu, put in the password, the time is now, and you'll get access to this recording and some other material I'm going to put up there relative to change. So with that, I say good night. I appreciate everybody listening and look forward to our next call, which is Wednesday, December 17th at 7 p.m. I'm Mike Clevenger, and I appreciate the opportunity to help improve masonry in Ohio. Good night, everyone.
Good night.
All right.
We'll see you.
Good night.